Okay, we're going to throw some lists at you. We're going to talk about things that we talk about, things that we use all the time to help us plan where we're going. But it's ideal for you to start thinking about where you want to go.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
Welcome to episode 36. I'm John Sumple.
I'm Karen Bernhardt.
And yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to kind of go through some of the... Isn't it every week fun, though?
There's so much fun.
Everything
week
is fun. Everybody's like, it's so much fun. We have so much fun.
Is like so Disney World. Fun. Disney World in this room every single week.
It is a podcast that makes people just walk on air.
Okay.
That's what we're going with.
All right.
Makes us feel good about ourselves, though, right?
Yeah. So how's it going, John?
It is going.
John, I have a question, though, before we get started here.
Sure, go ahead.
How are your new boots?
My new boots are pulled back out of the freezer in the refrigerator.
This week. But you did pull them out of the freezer this week, and how were they?
I did. I pulled them out of the freezer. So I bought them a week ago. It was a week ago Saturday. Yes. This is the boot update.
Yes.
This is now the official podcast about John's boots.
It won't be a regular part of the podcast.
No, because this will hopefully be the last time.
Right.
So they got a good workout Saturday night. I think we mentioned that.
What was the workout?
With the mink oil and me.
Oh, you know, the massage. Yes, the all-night massage.
The leather massage, right?
That's right. Okay.
Did that. Put them in the freezer. Let them expand a little bit. Wore them on Sunday. Was great.
Mm-hmm.
Felt good.
Okay.
Still had to break them in. I could tell that there was a little bit more work to do. So I did some mink oil massage again another
massage
night.
Massage number two.
Really worked them good. But I wore them like three or four times. And today, wore them pretty much the whole day.
Yeah.
Little rubbing here and there. But overall, I think 1 week for shoes like that, to break them in that quickly, I think people would be
not
like,
bad.
Wow, can you do that for me? I might start that service.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Breaking your Red Wing boots with John Sumple.
Yeah. And .com. You're sticking with it because these were a little bit of an investment. They were investment boots.
They're great.
They're gorgeous. No, they absolutely are gorgeous. And I want them to be as comfortable as they are attractive.
To me,
and it feels like you're almost there.
I think Karen is a little bit more enamored with how good they look. That's not really kind of what I'm going for. It's not about, wow, these are so beautiful.
You did have some opinions and thoughts around what these things look like. You didn't want.
My whole thing with them, and we talked about this when we were in the store, is that I couldn't wait to get them looking like they were a couple years old.
Yeah, you wanted the distressed.
And you were saying to the shop owner, I would keep them as pristine as possible.
Yeah, the distressing would stress me out.
Right.
That I want them to look pristine.
I want that last week.
Yeah. All right. So there you go, folks. There's the boot update.
And you know, everybody's waiting for that.
Ooh, thank goodness.
Thank God that's out of the
way. Thank goodness that happened.
So Karen, what's the best thing that happened to you this week?
Okay. My best thing, this might sound a little bit like off the beaten path or a little abstract, but I had a moment this past week where I already very much appreciate the company that I work for, and I'm so grateful that I've been able to work for them remotely for as many years as I have. But this past week, every year, the company is huge into Halloween. Like when I first started working for them, how many years has it been now? 14 years. I was sort of shocked at how much they're into Halloween, and I've never really understood why, but it's okay, you know, go with it. So yeah, this company takes Halloween super seriously. And during these COVID times, of course, everything's very different. Everyone's working remotely. And the company went way out of their way to plan like basically a virtual Halloween where they had different activities every day and different ways to participate through Microsoft Teams. And just a lot of encouraging engagement and very enthusiastic, playful nature with it all. And I just had a lot of moments with it where I'm like, good for them. Like, how nice that they are going out of their way, but also recognizing that these are unique times and let's, you know, pivot and adjust and still, you know, do something that will be fun and playful for the employees and just that. I just thought it was cool.
Did you engage?
I did.
Did you win a prize?
No prizes, but there was like every day there was a little something like virtual bingo. There was submit entries as far as something you might have decorated in your home. There was one day where it was like spooky cocktails, like mocktails. Submit that. Yeah, it was just different things. I just appreciated that the company is thinking of, because this is a thing right now, like, how do you keep employees engaged? They're, you know, a lot of your employees hopefully have a good work ethic. They're staying productive and doing all these different things while they're working remotely. But also, how's their mental health? Like, what are you doing to stay connected to your employees? And I just really appreciated the company, you know, going to these lengths to keep something, that, you know, the continuity that they've done with Halloween every year, to do the best they can with it during these unusual remote working times.
Yeah. So welcome to this episode of Boots and HR.
Boots and HR, employee engagement and retention. How do we achieve both during challenging times?
Episode 36 of From Someplace New goes off the rails.
And we never come back.
And we never come back. And you know what? This is now officially a podcast about anything we want it to be. Screw travel. Doesn't have anything to do with it.
This is called the podcast.
Wow, the Cornucopia podcast with John and Karen.
So, John, how about you? And if you could make this specific to a remote working, long-term travel lifestyle.
It is solely about us.
Oh. Well, yeah, those are the only two people in the room right now, right. Unless you count the Halloween ghosts.
Okay, it's after Halloween, so it's all good. Well, it is November 1st.
Yeah, but the ghosts haven't left yet.
Okay.
They're allowed to stay through the weekend.
Karen's been drinking some of those.
No, she's not.
Of those Halloweeny martinis or whatever she was talking about.
They were mocktails, and mocktails don't involve alcohol.
I think yours did. So the best thing that happened to me, I will share with you if you would be quiet for a minute. Just a second. Just be ease into this, okay? So I'm excited because after making all these ridiculous promises and to myself, to you, to the world about getting this website done, I finally have committed to working with an agency that's in Australia to help me with a new logo and a new website design, because the one that hasn't been released that I worked on for a long time, because kind of wasn't happy with it, because, you know, 2 years later, after looking at it on and off for 2 years, I wasn't loving it.
Your tastes and your interests changed.
We're moving. It's finally moving
there's
forward.
There's progress.
There's many things that are going to be happening around that we'll talk about as time goes on, but we're kind of stoked. So yeah. I'm stoked. That was the best
movement.
Thing that happened.
Good energy.
There's movement
around it
excited.
Now.
Very excited.
Wow. And that was succinct too.
Yep.
Thank goodness. Thank after gosh. All of my, you know, HR employee engagement session.
Into the episode, and we haven't talked about anything yet.
Hey, John, what's tonight's session about anyway?
We're going to talk.
Is it a session?
It's a session. Yeah. Karen, lay down on the couch. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Am I going to get a boot massage? Is that what's happening next?
Yay. Wait, let me get out the mink oil. Let me heat it up a little bit.
And grab the mink oil.
Welcome to John and Karen's Off the Rails podcast about mink oil.
Things are getting strange.
Okay, no, yes. Seriously, folks, no alcohol has been imbibed at all.
No, surprisingly.
It's just giddiness. Disappointingly. Just loving podcasting in general.
Oh, hold on, though. We just got back on the rails, but now I need to back up.
Uh-oh.
How about a COVID update? Because there is one.
Oh, yeah. Everything's locked down. Moving on.
It's all locked down. Yeah, there's nothing going on. We're going to be in this bedroom for the rest of 2020.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Right. So, okay.
No. So, yes, lockdown. It's not an official lockdown here, but Ireland is locked down. Wales is locked down. England will be locking down as of this Thursday.
There's three out of the four in
three
the
out
UK
of the four in
our
UK.
Fine United Kingdom.
And then also Ireland.
Right. That's Republic of Ireland, right. If you will.
So we got everything is kind of locking down, but fortunately for us, we're entering into the five stages of lockdown.
Right.
Tiers of battling coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Zero is everything's fine. And then there's one, two, three, four being kind of close to a severe lockdown. And we're in tier three, but they're thinking that within the next few weeks that we could go back to two.
In Edinburgh, the Beltway.
So yeah, so the story there is that Scotland's done a much better job of managing this than England has.
Sorry, England.
So we're going to start talking about some of the things that the resources that we've been using and kind of got introduced through our research in an effort to try to help people. That, so you might be saying to yourself, I'm never going to do this, or it's not in my future anytime soon. But I would encourage you just to go through the exercise, because you might be surprised at what you find out, and you might be encouraged by what you find out to say, you know what? Maybe I, you know, going through this is going to spark something.
Dabble, if you will, in some of these resources and tools that we're going to share with you. There's six, by the way. So, yeah, maybe start doing a little digging and searching through these resources and kind of get a picture of what one of your like desired locations might look like, or how that could work for you.
So one of the things that we've talked about before is a lot of people might say, well, my ideal location might be London. Well, London's kind of expensive, so that might not be the best starting point unless you have a lot of money.
Yeah, money
so to burn. If anybody's doing this, looking at it from a work from anywhere, taking my job on the road type of thing, if you have a job that allows you to do that, awesome. If not, you have to kind of figure out, what am I going to do to get to the point where I can support myself on the road? And a lot of first steps are in countries that have a lower cost of living.
Right, which we've talked about quite a bit.
So we've
South America, we're looking at you. Thank you for...
So when we started doing our research, we said, okay, well, I started doing it initially after I got off the phone with, after the infamous phone call with Scott. I started doing research immediately. And the number one website that I found was International Living, because of their annual retirement index survey.
Such a good resource.
Yeah. And their annual retirement index is something that, obviously, it's annual, comes out every year, and the rankings change every year based on a variety of criteria that they use to kind of go through. They score every country on a scale from 1 to 100, 100 being the top, across a variety of categories.
And what are those categories, John?
Okay. Buying and renting, benefits and discounts, visas and residence, cost of living, fitting in. Is it a good fit for someone who might be considering that? Entertainment and amenities, healthcare, healthy lifestyle, infrastructure, and climate. So you kind of put all those scores together.
Combination there.
Come up with an, you know, final score. And they do this every year. So the countries vary to a certain extent from year to year, but there's usually the same usual suspects that are in theirs. Now, again, theirs is focused a little bit more on retirement, and the mentality there is to stretch your retirement dollars as far as you can. So,
they're looking at it a little bit more through that lens.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to be retiring to take advantage of low cost of living.
Sure.
So those are the type of things that we kind of, you know, went through.
So, John, curious, who was the top place last year?
So number one was Portugal. Number two, Panama. Number three, Costa Rica. Number four, Mexico. And number five, Colombia. But they list, you know, the list is comprehensive in the sense that they have, I think it's like 20 countries that they'll put on there. And some other names that might be on there: Malaysia, Colombia, Thailand, Nicaragua, Spain, Malta, Honduras, France, Belize, Peru, Italy, Philippines, Uruguay, Ireland, Cambodia, Guatemala, Vietnam. Those are, they all might be on the list. But they do very comprehensive work based on people who are on the ground in those countries and reporting on what those conditions are according to those different categories. Again, scale 1 to 100. So that really gives you kind of a starting point to say, wow, this is a really good guide to give me some general direction about all the things that might be important to me. I think it's a really good starting point.
Yeah. And you can kind of pick and choose which of those items are most important to you.
Right.
You know, and use that to, help guide you along the way.
And when you're looking at the chart, and that's the one thing about International Living. In order to, I believe, get the chart, you have to supply your email address. So go to internationalliving.com. And I think that and just look for the annual retirement index. And it's on the website. And you would need to submit that. Pretty sure you can get it from that. I don't know if it requires you to sign up for the magazine, but we did. It's $49. I think it's $49 a year. You get 12 issues of the magazine mailed to your house. You also get access to, you know, things on the website.
Isn't that like that? Yeah, they send out a lot of mailings. emails. So there's like, yeah, and the postcards are great because they're little features and snippets of people that are actually living there and why and what they love about the area. So that's much more personal. Yeah, it's a great, there's just so much information that comes out of international living. Yeah.
And one of the advantages of signing up for the, I think it's, like I said, I think it's $49 for the year, is you get access to things that are behind the login. That is, you know, reports and more in-depth information about specific countries that you can download as resources or access through the website, and just tons and tons of great information that gives you background, foundational information about these different areas, which is really, really good. And the other added benefit is from time to time, you might see an article penned by either Karen or myself, because we do write for International Living every once in a while.
So
it's a good resource. It's a very, very good resource, and we've enjoyed sharing our story.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a wealth of knowledge. It's great. So how about number two, John?
Numbeo.com. That's Numbeo.com. And it provides, it's got a lot of information on there, but the one thing that I think is the best resource on there is their cost of living index. So you can go in, you can do comparisons of countries. You can do a comparison of cities in the United States if you wanted to. They have property prices, quality of life indexes, you know, jobs. I mean, tons of different things that are on there.
Yeah. But
definitely like food, looking at
I mean, you can look at like different items you would get at a grocery store, transportation. There's a lot of detail there. All the different things that would play into what it costs, basically, cost of living to be in that area.
I'm on the website right now, and I'm just looking. It just the very top of the menu has cost of living, and under the cost of living a menu line, there's cost of living comparison, cost of living calculator, cost of living index, cost of living index by country, cost of living estimator, food prices, prices by city, prices by country, historical data analysis. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it's rich. There's a lot there.
So yeah, the information is definitely robust. And again, the information that is in there is reported by people who are actually in there. So it's updated constantly by people who are on the ground and supplying information into the Numbeo website, into their database. Again, great information to look at, you know, different countries to get an idea of, are these countries a good fit for me from a budget point of view, quality of life point of view, prices of property type of thing? Great resource to just, I mean, you can spend hours going through this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the number crunching is huge, right? Like, what's it going to cost? That's the bottom line for so much of this process. What is it going to cost to be here? And you can get such great context with this resource.
And aha moments. You'll get aha moments from that. You'll be looking at this going like, I did not realize how inexpensive it was, or
flip side,
how expensive it is to say, oh, I really wanted to go here, but geez, I don't know if I could swing it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you could spend a day or two looking at International Living or Numbeo and come away with a general idea of what would work.
Yeah. Like, why not just sit down one day and what are five places you're considering that are interesting to you, that for whatever reason you have some sort of poll, just that, your top five, and just go into those two sites right off the bat, and you'll have like a really good, just that context.
Yeah. And I think
what would wind up
happening with that too, is that you'll say, oh, here are my five that I'm going into. But as you start to go through it, you're going to find, oh my gosh, I didn't even know about this. Or maybe this one's even better. Gosh, look at the prices here. And, and oh, it's a very similar country. It is a lot of eye-opening moments for sure.
Okay. Are we ready for number three?
I think we are.
Okay.
Number three. Halfway through the list.
Now we're going to get techie.
A little techie.
John loves this one.
So the next one is important if you're a digital nomad, if you're working from anywhere and you need to rely on the internet. So it's internet speeds. Very important.
Critical.
Critical for us. It is a priority for us. And one of the things that we learned, you know, there's this give and take when you're deciding on budget versus internet speed, because the lower budget countries, specifically to when we started in Mexico and South America, their speeds were nowhere near as fast as some of the other places in the world. But that's where we decided that we wanted to start. So we always had to ask whenever we spoke to somebody that we were considering as an Airbnb option to determine and ask them to validate the speeds of the internet. But a great resource as you're going through your Numbeo and your international living is to go to speedtest.net and look at their speed test global index. So that will tell you based on it's ongoing. They test it. They test it monthly, and it has a ranking of every single country. So when you go to the speedtest.net website, they have the speed test global index, and they have two categories for mobile and fixed broadband. So you can look at either one to get an idea of what you're going to get when you're using your phone versus what you're going to get through internet service provider. This is great because it gives you an idea of what your speeds are going to be from country to country. And they have a list, you know, you name it. They've got let me see how many total countries are there. There are a listing of 175 countries, and they do rankings that number one is Singapore at 226.6 megabytes per second for their fixed broadband. So they're number one, Singapore, number one with a bullet for fixed broadband. So that's the Wi-Fi that you're going to get when you're sitting at a coffee shop, sitting in an apartment, sitting in a workspace, wherever that might be. These are the type of things. So these are averages. I'm not necessarily going to say that they're all going to be that way, but number one is Singapore, two Hong Kong, three Romania, four Switzerland, five Thailand. So those are the top five.
What's the lowest?
The lowest at the very bottom of the list, number 175, is Turkmenistan.
Oh,
poor Turkmenistan, 3.4 megabytes per second. Not super
really
fast.
Considering that, but no, maybe not this.
They beat out Yemen for the bottom of the barrel.
Okay.
So these will just, again, you take these different resources, mm-hmm. and you kind of put all this information together to do an evaluation assessment.
Now you're stitching together a idea, quilt, if you will.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a little, before we go onto the next one, I just wanted to share, we've been talking about this trend of moving out of this COVID era into whatever the next era is. With so many people working remotely now, we see by far in almost everything you read, if you start to do some trend analysis about what this means, the world is going to change dramatically as a result of people's ability to move anywhere in the world to do their work.
Right.
There are companies who've put
a table is being set as we speak.
Yeah. There's companies that have put a stake in the ground saying all of our employees can work remotely all the time now. Big mm-hmm. companies too, mm-hmm. thousands of employees.
Yes.
So this is something that is going to be a game changer.
And it's not going, there's no turning back from where this is headed, I don't think.
So two episodes ago, we talked about countries that are offering a digital nomad visas
and incentives,
incentives for
you to be there.
More are going to come.
Yeah.
And there's more and more countries that are talking about it. The one that I thought was really interesting was in, I think it was in Croatia. Somebody who was a digital nomad brought it to the attention of the prime minister, the president of Croatia, and said, this is something that you need here. And it was taken into consideration and now in the process of
formulating. They're building it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are we not thinking of right now that's going to change as a result of this transformation of the workforce? We just don't know.
But we do know that this is evolving.
It is.
And it will only grow.
So do your research. Start thinking about it. I guarantee you, if you go through this exercise of going into these websites and looking at what is possible, you're going to be surprised at how doable this is from a number crunching point of view. And then the wheels start turning about, well, what can I do to make sure that I can, you know, generate the revenue, the income that I need to support myself, my family, my spouse, my partner in this type of a lifestyle. And the wheels will start in motion. The snowball will start rolling down the hill, gaining momentum. Can you feel it? Okay, let's go. Let's go back
are
to
we
our
ready? Life. Okay, so we have three more items, three more resources.
So now you've kind of figured out, these are places that I can go to. This is kind of cool.
What's it going to cost? How much is a hamburger? How much is, you know, a quart of milk?
Bread.
What might I be dealing with as far as, you know, healthcare and transit and all of that good stuff? Now, let's just say we want to kind of see, what's it going to cost to fly there?
Right. What's going to cost to fly there and stay there?
Yeah, I'm in the Midwest USA right now or wherever. And what are we looking at for cost of airfare?
Most people are going to be like, well, I'm going to go to my go-to resource for looking up airfare. And I think you would be surprised by when you do a search. If you were to go and do the same search in like 20 or 30, 40 different platforms, you might be surprised at what you find out. The one thing that you're going to find out is that most of the sites that you do your travel planning on for airfare, they're aggregators. They're basically pulling from a variety of different resources. And if you start pulling from these companies that are, the names that you've never heard of before, and you're like, oh, Kiwi, or there's a whole bunch of different names, and you're basically buying through that platform, which can create a whole host of problems. So what we would prefer to do is go right to the source. So the best resource that we have found is to use Skyscanner as kind of like the number one go-to, because it does give you more, I think it searches a wider array mm-hmm. of options internationally mm-hmm. in particular. Mm-hmm. But there's one that's even better than that. It's the Matrix Airfare Search on ITA Software. So it's matrix.itasoftware.com. No, this is basically what everything else runs off of.
You've ever looked at.
So I've been using this for.
Okay, what is this called again?
It's called the Matrix Airfare Search, and it's an ITA software by Google. So it's Matrix.
What does that mean? So how do you find that?
It's matrix.itasoftware.com.
Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh. And we'll put links to all of these different resources.
Sure, of course. This is interesting to me as I'm sitting across this podcast station hearing about this. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Okay.
So, but that one is probably the most up to date, and I think it pulls directly from the same resources that the industry uses.
Okay.
So you're not using an aggregator; you're going right mm-hmm. to the source.
Wow.
You're finding things directly.
So better than Skyscanner, and it's easy to follow. It's
It's very simple. Okay. Well, no, I would use Skyscanner or the ITA software Matrix Airfare Search. And it's a Google Flights is connected to this Matrix Airfare Search. Mm-hmm. And they usually show up a much broader search. The point here is that it's worth checking these different resources out. I strongly encourage you to do a search on your favorite platform, whether it's Orbitz or Expedia or Kayak or
Rome to Rio,
Hopper, on and on and on,
right.
long lists. Go through those. See what you come up with, but also look at, Google Flights, Matrix Airfare Search, and Skyscanner. You're going to get different results as a result of that. And you might find flights that you wouldn't have found on these other resources. So strongly suggest that you kind of play around with those. Once you find one that you like, though, to make sure that you're getting it directly through the airline, I would go to that airline's site.
Right. So now bounce over to the airline itself.
Yeah. Bounce over to the airline itself, plug in the information that you found. And I think the Matrix Airfare Search just shows you what the flights are. You then have to go somewhere.
Oh, okay. You would have to follow up anyway.
Book directly through that.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah. It's just informational. It's not a commerce site.
Right. Skyscanner and Google Flights will do the same thing. They will connect you through to a booking site. Whether it is a different site or one of the aggregators or through directly to the airline. Highly recommend that you go directly through airlines whenever you're booking, because you're much more protected by using that. You have more options and flexibility should a flight be canceled or something changes in your schedule where you can get a credit. Some places will not refund you.
Which is really important right now.
Yes. Especially
in the coming months, yes. But
critical really now is to mm-hmm. make sure that you're booking through directly through
so you
the
have
airline.
Options yeah
for sure
recall and all of that yeah
so yeah I'm sorry if it's a little bit confusing, but I think my point would be Skyscanner, Google Flights, and this Matrix Airfare Search are really, really good.
Okay, and again, we'll provide links.
Yes, we will. Yeah. But there's, and you might have heard a couple of names that we threw out there that you've never heard of before. And I used to use Rome to Rio quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
And that helped a lot because that was more focused on international, especially based on where you're searching from. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I would suggest that you do is to do a search incognito.
Yes.
Because you will get different airfares as a result of that too.
Right.
So
I've heard this numerous times.
Sometimes they're location based. So it is a good idea to do a search incognito.
So you're truly getting the best rate.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It might change based on where your search is mm-hmm. if you're in an They're originating sneaky. City. Yeah. So don't know all the legalities around that, the marketing, the reasons why they do that, but have played around with it enough to see that it does make a difference when you're doing those searches.
Okay, so John, we've done these different, we've gone through these different steps, right? And we have an idea of where we might like to go. We have an idea of what it might cost at the time that we think we want to deploy and fly to this area. Where do we stay?
So we
like what yeah. is our yeah like what is our living situation once we get there?
And we use Airbnb.
Yeah, I would say, no surprise there. We talk about it a lot.
We talk about it a lot because of the volume of opportunities and options that you have. And one of the things that we've learned when you're first doing a scan about availability in a given city, what you're going to see is the nightly rate. Strongly recommend that you do searches based on monthlies. And the reason why you want to do that is because there's usually significant discounts.
Savings, yeah. Sure.
Most places will post, unless you put in the search being a longer period of time, they're going to show you what the nightly rate is. If you put it in for a week period, there might be a discount for a week. But if you put it in for a monthly, there's always a discount.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, if you are looking to travel frequently, I would recommend using Airbnb as a resource to help you get an idea of what your budget's going to be. However, if you're planning on being in a location for an extended period of time, say you have the opportunity to get a long-term residential visa, which is basically an annual visa, then you might want to look at staying in, you know, doing research based on long-term residential apartments. And if that's the case, I would recommend that you get to a location, could be for 2 weeks, for a month, let's say a month, because you know you're going to be there for a long time. Do it through Airbnb. And then once you get on the ground, start to look locally and work with either agencies for apartments or just walking around in neighborhoods and seeing signs for things for that are for rent. And calling those numbers, you're going to get a much lower rent if you go through that route. Not every single place is going to be furnished, so you want to make sure that you're looking at places that are furnished. And the reason why I say that is because you could see, for example, when we were in South America, we were paying anywhere from like $700 to $1,000 a month for Airbnbs. But if we were doing it through a annual lease or a six-month lease, price could be as low as $300 to $500 a month. So makes sense to do a little bit of research, but the best thing to do is get there on the ground versus trying to do all of that research before you get there. So get there, get on the ground, do the research while you're there, talk to the people while you're there. You're going to find better deals as a result of that versus trying to arrange it all while you're remote.
And it's also so much easier to know where you might want to be once you're there
sure.
and you've been able to walk around a little bit, maybe drive around a little bit, get a sense of neighborhoods. There's only so much you can do. You know, it's a little abstract when you're online, even looking at photos, even reading reviews until you actually get there. So like you said, that's a great piece of advice, like rent something very short term, get yourself in some place, you know, initially, and then get comfortable with what's available to you. And then look at those connections, those resources for, like you said, for renting once you're there.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And the last thing that we would mention too, this is kind of a bonus, is we mentioned it in previous episodes too, is traveloffpath.com.
And this has been a gold mine for us, especially now during these COVID times.
Yes.
Because they are updating information constantly. Yeah.
It is best resource.
I don't know how they're doing it. I really don't. I don't know who all is working behind the scenes.
It's
kudos to them. Yeah, you mentioned that. How is that possible?
No.
Because they are
amazing.
Really on top of it. And this is this not an easy task. For them to be, you know, following and deciphering and bringing that information to their hungry audience as to just, you know, what's open, when, what's closing, why. It's just, yeah, it's a lot. But they're doing a great job.
Yeah, it's Cashley and Trevor are the founders of Travel Off Path, and it has really taken on a life of its own since the COVID scenario hit because it's been a destination resource. So it's and I've communicated with Cashly when we were planning on getting out of Bariloche, Argentina, and got some insight from her. The two of them have done a fantastic job of getting information out to people. I highly recommend that you go to the website just to get an idea of where things are right now, but also visit the Travel Off Path Facebook group.
Yeah, definitely do both. We can say they complement each other, but you can get into the more in-depth. Obviously, on Facebook, you're going to have comments and conversations and threads that you can follow that are really great.
Yeah, and people that are going through it in the moment, they're sharing, yeah, I just went through Europe to get to Thailand, or I went through Amsterdam to get to Turkey, and they're people are giving you almost like reporting their travel.
On the beat.
Yeah, so which has been a big
reports,
help.
Yeah,
big help for people who are traveling through COVID times. Yeah,
no, it's been excellent. That's been such a timely, helpful resource for us right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
six.
You know, six things that are kind of helpful.
Yeah. Obviously, there's other resources and tools, and that might be a future podcast that are helpful once you're at a location.
Yeah. This was more about getting you to think about where you would want to go.
Some orientation around, where to go and what makes sense once you're there.
Now, the other thing that you might want to look into that I would highly recommend that you do before you make any decision to travel is to look into the visa scenarios.
Of course.
And the best thing to do is to go to the State Department if you're living in the U.S. or specifically to the immigration website of the country that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So that will definitely help you get a better idea of what your visa options may be. If you're a tourist visa, that's usually 30, 60, 90 days, 180 days in some countries for U.S. passport holders. But there are also a variety of different visas that you can apply for. Every country, it ranges from three or four to a dozen or two. And you may qualify for something that you weren't aware of based on what your job is, what your nationality is, what your parental heritage is. There's a lot of different options that you may have that are definitely worthy of pursuing.
Yeah, and it could nudge one country up higher than another because of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Depending on your time frame and what makes sense for you.
So if you like what you heard in this episode, do us a favor, give us a 5-star review, leave a comment, share it with your family and friends. And keep the dream alive.
Hang in there, guys.
Keeping the dream alive. Don't look at it's kind of like where we are right now, because it kind of seems like the whole world is going into round two of this.
It can feel like that, yes.
But it's going to be over at some point, and we're going to be looking back at this, a couple years down the road. In a whole different world, digital nomad, crazy world.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what we're moving toward. And use this time. Don't get frustrated. Don't focus on the restriction. Use this time to research, to explore, to, talk about this with your family. Yeah, kind of put a pin in the map and
or a few.
Move toward that. A few pins. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll start planning too.
Yeah. Well,
where are we going to go next? We've got to figure that out.
Yeah. I think you need to get your boots out of the freezer, and we'll
do some HR research.
Yeah.
We'll be good to go.
Okay.